5, 4, 3, 2,
countdown.
1.
Baby, we back. And you can blame it all on Morg. Baby, we back.
Welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates Podcast, episode 164. We are back. I am Ken Jones. To my left,
Morgan Jones.
Hi, Morgan Jones.
Hello.
My name is Ken.
Hello, Ken Jones. Kenathan.
Canyon. Okay. Got another one. for the listeners that know me in life, don't let it slip out your lips.
Don't do it.
We run our test of fans. Summer 22.
It's a malice in the palace, baby.
Up and it's stuck. Anyway, we back in this thing. And before we get to jumping into the things that we're going to jump into, we're going to start with these shout outs. We want to shout out France and Portugal. Oh, international. For being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. We're going to shout out to Bayonne and Gresham for being our top listening cities outside of Portland, Oregon. Shout out to our top listener this week, Freak Yudi. That's tight. That's tight. We also going to shout out our sponsor, The Nine Brand. That's D-I-X-B-R-A-N-D. You can check out the latest and the greatest at D-I-X-B-R-A-N-D.co.com. Don't let your browser mess it up for you. You can do the other thing, which is follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. You can follow me, Ken, at I Technically Can, and follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double those onto Andres. I was going to say we back and we are here and it came out as we are. <Take it. laughs> Let me put a little squeeze of this glass of y'all a quick hot hour.
We going to wet our beaks real quick.
We're going to put yitz on the board.
That's it.
I've been actually rocking, and this is not free promo, but this Los Arango has been nice little añejo, and it's a nice little smooth joint. I got it because of there's a charm, a like raised silver charm on it, and it made it feel fonce.
That seems pretty fonce.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of buying things by the bottle, just the look of it, try it out.
That's how I've always done wine.
Yeah, that's exactly
anytime
what
I've really done
wine.
It's like, oh, y'all put some thought into this. Take the money. That's my typical go-to.
Yeah, Lily taught me that a long time ago when I didn't drink wine still, but I'd like, we're going to a party or a, dinner party. I feel like I should bring something, but I have no idea what makes a good wine. She'd be like,
yeah,
decide on a price range and pick the cutest bottle.
Yeah, that is okay. Game to live by.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm definitely that guy. It's a lot going on today as we record on Friday, June 24th. One of the things they say to not do is date stamp, but we're date stamping.
We're doing it.
And
because this is a day.
Talking about a lot of things that have to do with growth and setbacks. But we always like to lead with love and some fun. We like to make it a little sandwich,
We do.
There was a thing that happened yesterday called the Versus. Which, for those unfamiliar, it's a showcase between two musical artists, usually within the R&B or hip hop / rap genre. There have been a gospel. There's been a gospel version.
Has there? I wouldn't.
Yeah, there was. Didn't Kirk Franklin and I think Kirk and somebody did a joint.
I think there was a stomp the yard or something.
Put your mother hands together.
Stomp.
Plies 2.0. But before I even get into that, there's been some music been dropping, and I know there was a surprise drop from two of the premier artists in the world,
two of the big ones
of the culture, Drake and Beyonce. Queen B.
There we go.
The second.
The second.
And I'll tell you straight up, when I heard the drop, Drake announced his album drop a couple of hours before it dropped. And when I saw that on the feed, I was like, oh, I've never been a person to post quotes from music, really. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, I got captions is coming.
He does give us great caption content.
Yeah. But slap this thing on the drive home from where I was at, and it was a lot of that.
You were like, "Where's my e-pill?"
Like, yeah. And I Drake typically hits us off with a couple of those, maybe some higher tempos. But this whole project was like Dance Dance Revolution, and
indeed.
What I'll say is, initially went through it, it's like disgust. I want Drake to do what Drake does. You know,
give me some bars, my guy.
Yeah, and it wasn't as bad as or not as bad. It wasn't like when a while ago Weeknd had dropped, and we were like,
yikes,
we want that old thing back.
Yes,
This just shocked me even more. I think going into Weeknd's album, it was more like, okay,
I could see him doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drizzle came through and threw it off. And then Beyonce drops her joint, which is in the same sphere of energetic, definitely a lot of shoulder movements. Then I had to sit with this. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I thought about, and I, the sun is out. So here in Portland, Oregon, we just started getting sun a few days ago.
It's real.
Usually we've had a taste of summer by now in the year. We had none of that. We had probably 3 to 4 sunny days up to this point this year.
And but they were still cold.
Yeah. It was still cold. But after thinking about it, it was like, wait, people are going to be outside this year like they've not been in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Clubs, bars, day parties, all of those things are happening. This is the music that is going to fuel
talk
that.
To him,
and
Ken.
You think of the music that's been being dropped. It's not been like the hits that we've been having have been a whole lot slower, boppy. Like, you're not really, this ain't dance music. You may can hit a move and do a little something that won't cause a sweat. This is music, and I'll speak too from the male portion of this is not for dudes that don't be dancing. They don't really be moving in the spot. That's why it doesn't resonate. It didn't resonate for a lot of people. And we've also, I know I've talked about before with even all the time I've defended Drake for all the years since way back of like, he's not making music for y'all to don't actually be getting action like that. He makes music for the women's because what the women's like, that's where the money is going to be and all those things. And usually dudes are going to fall in line if the women's like it. So with that, Beyonce's song, the thing that threw me is I heard this after I started seeing the interwebs going crazy because it's Beyonce and we on her internets,
it is hers and we live in her world.
Her and Al Gore on a partnership. The thing was, I'm like, why are people talking about quitting their job? And I just want to know, Beyonce, because you did this with Lemonade, had hella women out here breaking up with they with a man and feeling their
significance.
Yeah, they significance. And you was with your man the whole time, and you was
the
cool.
whole MF time. So the whole time. That whole album was a breakup, we got back together album. Yes. They forgot the we got back together part. Like, that, they just didn't hear that. Jay-Z is on that album, and they were like, she hates him. I hate my man, too.
Inspired. Like, motivated.
Inspired. I am so motivated to leave this mug.
And you got people out here motivated to leave that 9-to-5, which is great. But
I mean, great. If do that, you have a, something to do?
An EIN and a W-4 for download for the people that you're about to employ? Because clearly you're going to employ some of the Hive, right? let us know .org. What dot is it? Beyonce.org. That they should go to submit.
She's gonna be like, you guys can work at Adidas if you want. I got all the people I need at Ivy Park. I got all the people I need.
Got some ivy plants in it.
And raise the ivy. You do that.
But
learn how to write for a grant.
Trying to understand that the music now is like those being the huge artists and artists that help set trends. Getting back to music that does have a certain vibration. I know Drill been doing his thing these last couple of years. And some music you can't even not dance to, right? You can't not move. And even though this may not be what I want to listen to in my car, I always try to step back from music and say, what does this sound like on 4-foot-tall speakers with lots of bass?
Uh-huh.
It's a different experience. A couple of libations and some bass hits can definitely do a lot to make a song feel good.
Most certainly. I think Drake made an album for the summer in Ibiza, however Ibiza, you're supposed to say
I've
it.
I've always wanted Ibiza. To go there to party. I remember seeing
yeah,
it on
same.
Travel something when I was young. It was, there was some lady that used to be an actor, and she would, the E channel would have her go places, and it's in my head. Tara Reid. It was her, and Ibiza was one of the places that she went to, and I remember being like 19, 20, and wanting that.
You were like, I need that experience.
I want to experience.
I want
if
that
If I ever did a hard
well.
Drug, it would be
It's going to be there. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly the same, Can. Exactly the same. That's what that album is to me. That album was made for day drinking next to an infinity pool. Mm-hmm. With a bunch of people dancing around and you know, bob your head the way that you do, you know, like,
yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think it's gendered. I don't think that it's, that this album is only hitting men that don't dance like that. I think if you aren't a dancer, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you don't get out and you be going to the club and actually like the, it's not a thing. And like immediately when I heard it, I was like, yeah, this sounds like the W Hotel. Like, this definitely sounds like walking into a W and you're like, oh, the club is right next to, you know, right here and through this door, and check-in is right here. Like,
yeah.
So it's a bunch of house music, which I'm not mad at. It's absolutely cracked me up to see people writing out oomph oomph. Like,
look, I was just about to never thinking of how that word was spelled. That goes back to when I love the interweb.
Yo, because they said that Drake made oomph oomph. Like, I died. I was like,
for
you,
the fact we all
that's
know
how
that
you
sound like, and
that's how you spell that.
Perfect.
O-O-N-T-Z. That's how you spell that sound. You're correct. You're correct, Internet. But it really was like, it was super funny for me to see the reaction, because I think that, so what I've learned about myself is I have to sit with a Drake album. It doesn't matter what the album is. I have to listen to it more than once. I have to listen to it in different scenarios. It can't just be in my headphones. Maybe it's in a drive. Maybe it's on, you know, like on my TV, because I have a pretty decent sound system. So like,
oh yeah, I've had my life changed on songs being at your spot. I've definitely left there liking a song that I was on the fence about. Straight up.
The system will do it to you.
Yeah.
So like, So I've learned that about myself. I don't really any take that I have off of a first listen of a Drake album is a hot take, and you shouldn't listen to me. Yeah. Like that's the thing. I have only listened to this once, and it sounds like a day party in Ibiza. Like it's literally made for that, which makes a lot of sense to me, right? Like that's the life he living now, and give us the music for the sound of the summer, my guy. I'm not mad. I understand why people are upset. I understand why, you know, we love a good bar from Drizzy. But, you know, I mean,
still giving the bars, I skipped back still through and was like, oh, you're still saying the same.
He's still saying the same stuff. So that's what happened to me today, Cam. I listened to the Weekend Don FM because I was just working on stuff and it was on YouTube and they have the whole album. So I just listened to it. And he's still saying the same stuff. Like it's still in there. It's just an Ibiza vibe. It's literally like they just went and they have experienced different places, parties, different places. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they made that album. So I'm not mad at Drake. I'll listen to it again, you know, multiple times and see how I really feel about it. But I also feel like he dropped that and Beyonce was like, hold my beer. I can actually do house. And then she did that song. And I feel like her product of that song was what Drake was going for.
So do you think that's what it is? Because I'm hearing she's got an album dropping. This is the album is set. It's already said that this is when it's dropped. They got the date and all that stuff up. And this was a thing. I'm hearing people say that they think Drizzle got word of that. He was already working on it. Not like he put this all together, but was like, oh, I got to drop this. That's why it came out a couple of hours before.
When it did.
Yeah.
I'm down to subscribe to that conspiracy theory.
And also, let's also, what I got to give some kudos to is the fact that Drake has, it's the number one album in that category.
Right.
Of dance music.
House,
I don't know,
dance.
House dance. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, but also, that's what the celebrity is. It unannounced can drop something and it becomes number one.
I mean, just off the fact that it dropped is going to push it. Look crazy because it's a surprise, right? Like Beyonce taught us that, and she taught us that you can just drop an album, do absolutely zero promo for it. Let me take it back. Not everybody can just drop an album and do zero promo for it. And this speaks to my whole point of when people are like, well, you could just make another Beyonce. No, you can't. You cannot just make another Beyonce or another Drake or whoever your favorite is. It doesn't, we could all follow the same exact blueprint. It is not just like, oh, and now I'm Beyonce. You know what I mean? That's just not how it works. So like, secret drops are not going to work for everybody. Somebody who is an international superstar who sets trends that we didn't even know mattered. Like, yeah, that person can do that. And she's been doing that. And then we'll hit you with like a visual for every song. And they're not even singles, but they just live on the internet.
That.
Like, is she wild? But I mean what her song sounded like to me, Break My Soul, sounds like what Drake was going for. Is my thought. Like, he was going for that vibe and he almost nailed it, but she was like, I can do anything.
What do you think Ray J was going for in terms of the vibe when he sang One Wish live on Versus?
I think he was going for I'm not here. I don't even know. My man was, I'm busy. I shouldn't. I'm running errands right now. And I just stopped through.
In tow. A child on hip.
On hip. What were you? Listen, I didn't watch the Verses, but thank you, internet, for giving us every single piece that mattered from
the Verses. All that we needed.
Real quick, I was at a wedding last night for one of my very best friends. Shout out to Nick and Callie for their beautiful wedding. Just release all the doves. It was so beautiful. Mm. So that's what I was doing instead of watching the verses. But again, thank you, internet, because y'all came through. You provided, you uplifted, you gave us all the goods. Your friend Ray J was up there holding his son, singing One Wish in such a poor, like, it was like it's not his song. It was definitely like, I don't even barely know the words to this. I have no idea where the notes go. I don't have notes in my throat anyway anymore. So I'm just gonna, like, when your own sister gets on the internet and is like, bro, I told you what to do. If I had one wish, you would listen to me.
Oof.
Fam.
And one. They should have did the rain on the stage. Maybe that would have helped.
You know, I think it would have, but maybe if you don't hold your baby while you're at work. Sir.
But for the fact in the moment, he said the reason his singing was off was because he was
because he's holding his son. If you don't get out of my face.
I don't know much about singing because I've not exposed the world to the pipes that are 24 carats that correct. I own. But arm bone connected to my not vocal cords. It's not connected to my vocal cords.
My man was screaming, though. So, like, what part of holding your son mattered? Were you trying to keep it low? Because
I didn't want to startle the
you didn't child. Want to startle the baby. Like, this is a toddler, number one. If you don't put that little boy down and let him run around the stage, if you're going to have him up there anyway. Second, you're screaming. He was screeching. Like, it was, I don't even know what, I honestly don't know what happened. Like, are you telling me that Ray J is getting the overproduced treatment like, you know, some of the 90s pop stars and that he just actually can't sing at all and they just be making it work? I don't think that's true, though, because a bunch of those people that were there were hitting all the sour notes and not doing what they were supposed to do.
Which
I don't.
So, specifically in here, like Pleasure P.
Can I ask you really quick? Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, this versus was a little different because it was like a fight. It was like a title card fight or something. I'm probably using the wrong words, but it was like all this buildup to get to Omarion and Mario, and it's like that's not how we've been doing this, right? Like it's been you guys undercard. Tried. You were like, how many R&B dudes can I throw at y'all in one situation? So the fact that they had Pleasure P, Bobby Valentino, Ray J, and Sammy going against each other leading up to Mario and Omarion was confusing. But when you heard that lineup, were you like, wait a minute, what is Pleasure P doing there? Does he just have one song or does he have an album? Like,
so
isn't he Birthday Sex?
Yeah. And I know
I don't know any other song.
Sneaky cuts. I know he has some sneaky cuts. Like, he was one of those people that was dropping things throughout the time, but looking at, I mean, Bobby V had an era. He had a run for
a year,
18 months. Yeah, it was a good 18 months.
He had a run.
But also Sammy. It wasn't a ton that
I think Sammy is a sleeper, like, okay, so like you just said with Pleasure P. I don't know the rest of his songs, but I have friends that are super heavy into R&B.
Okay.
And they're like, you've been sleeping on Sammy for years. He keeps dropping stuff. He's so great. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I guess I have. I've never listened to a full Sammy album in my entire life. Not when he was popping. Not yesterday. So, like, I don't know what songs he got to be out here. I don't even know what he looked like today. So he was on the stage at some point. I have no idea.
Mario. Do he got locks? I think of Sammy. I think of Mario. That's who pops in my head. It's Mario's face that pops in my head when I think of Sammy, and that happened over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like lost.
Back when I was skinny can as a teen, so Mario came out in what, 99, 2000? No. He was like 2001 or something. It was there somewhere in that space. And I remember getting a message, having a few people say that he reminded them of me.
And no.
Exactly. But I went to, no. Y'all just saying that because my nostrils on a skinny face was big and he got big nostrils. I was like, that's probably where y'all are pulling that from. And that's the only space. But that was something that I definitely remembered hearing.
Wow. I'm sorry. You're really good. He came out in 2001. I would have never been able to place that. When you said 99, I was like, nah. I feel like that's
yeah, no,
too
it
early.
Wasn't. It wasn't. I had to actually,
but it wasn't that far off either. Yeah. Like 2001. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking at this dude's discography, who knew? Not me. No clue. I definitely also was like, Omar Young gonna mop the floor with that dude. My immediate thought. Oh, he gonna mop the floor. Like, I can think of like four Mario songs that.
It
our
wasn't
songs?
Even close in my head of, but then we go back to what we've learned time and time again, is that what actually matters is how are you able to perform live?
The performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, bring it back to Teddy Riley just getting mopped because he didn't have a sound system. Which cracks me up to this day because Dre was like, what you never going to do is get me on a Versus looking like a fool. I'm not doing none of that because look what y'all did to Teddy Riley. No, I'm not doing it. I don't know. I just really thought this would be better. And it was like peak. Everybody forgot that they had to do that night.
And because it did feel like spur of the moment, like we were all in a spot having drinks, and it was like, and then just was like,
you want to do karaoke?
Remember when we used to be all singing, and it's just a bunch of people trying to get it off. Ain't no lemon water went around. Ain't nobody did the la 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 la.
Man, was not one warm up. They just took a couple shots of Hennessy and got on stage.
The clips that got me going crazy is when Ray J was singing and they was as a group on the side doing his ad-libs.
Yo, they tried to three-part harmonize that situation because he was so awful and he's so ungrateful that he was like, why y'all taking over my song? This my song. Like, my man,
you're
killing
it
in the worst way.
That he gave of like defeat and
just complete exasperation.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How dare y'all? Y'all singing over me? Listen, everybody, you should have put the mic to the baby's mouth. Like, he should have been singing the song because then maybe you would have been saved. He was awful. Awful.
And I love that you can't spell Omari out without Mario. Woo! Mario said that to Omari.
They had good promo leading up to it, I'll tell you that. Like, I did appreciate the whole D-Ray in the, different studios and having them talk smack. Like, I definitely was here for that. And then, boy, I thought Omarion was just going to icebox it all the way to the bank.
Yes. Like, that's a... Omarion got so many hits that are representative of breakups.
Yeah.
You knew when these ringtones were back when the ringtone era, you knew when it went off, it's like, oh, that's your dude you mad at. And don't be a dude and find out that that's your ringtone right now. Hope may be lost.
It's gone. If you had one wish.
Did Ray J perform Hit It First?
He should have, because... I think he would have nailed that one. The rest of it was trash. Man.
Hilarious. So I think honestly, not that Versus was not already on his way out, and it was an era. It was a lockdown era. But yeah. I think that kind of put the icing on it in terms of, yeah, we're good.
We don't really need to do this anymore. I see I see what they tried to do, the growth there. We're going to add a bunch of people before. There's a warm up. There's, whatever. But you guys are going to have to go back to the drawing board, I think. Like, we can't be a part of that.
Nope.
Also, what did sound check sound like if that was the end result? You know what I'm saying? Like,
because it don't
does
seem
everybody
like none of that
it?
Was a part of it. It don't seem like any of that was a part of what we saw. They just showed up like, we got this.
Yeah, we I think this. They did. It was just a whole lot of somebody on Twitter was like, there's a whole lot of Otises that think they're David Ruffin right now.
Hookah and Hennessy. It was Hookah and Hennessy at the pre-funk.
Like you said, not one cup of lemon water, warm water went around. No one had any honey, no nothing. It was just Hennessy and hookah and showed up and showed
and hilarious.
Out. So there's the growth and the setback there.
All right.
They said R&B dudes back a minute. Like, y'all got work to do. And we deserve better. So y'all got you got to come up with something.
That is a great point. We deserve mucho better.
We yeah, way more. Like, come on, y'all. Speaking of deserving more.
Go ahead.
Nah. No, you know what though? I think there are people that are like, "Wait, what does One Wish sound like?" let me hear what that studio version sounded like.
And there'd be a lot of disappointment with finding out what that sounded like versus what y'all got.
What you just got live. Like, I remember this is not, but I remember the very first time I saw The Weeknd and live, and yeah. It was way, you know, way back, only two mixtapes out. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, I think my Facebook status at that point was like, just trying to figure out if this dude can sing live or if he's going to end up being trash. Because it was so much falsetto, you know? And when my man nailed it. It was like, oh, you really sound like this.
Yeah.
Which I should have known because those weren't mixed and mastered things anyway.
He
sounded better. Like, it was just like, oh, you have me. I'm a fan. I'm gonna give you all the money. You have me. You won. I should have never questioned you, sir.
You have me is so funny to me. I just want to be told that after doing a thing that I do in this video. Right,
you have me. There it is. Whatever you need. So yeah, the other thing we got going, the reason why today got time stamped, I think, why we talked about it being the 24th, woke up to the news that Roe v. Wade was overturned. And if you have listened to the Unrefined Sophisticates before, you know that we have talked about this potential. We have talked about the implications. We have talked about the states with trigger laws just waiting, you know, and now it's here. And those 13 states that had trigger laws in 30 days, they are going to just completely outlaw abortion in those states. There are about 13 more that are likely also going to. So we're talking 26 out of. So we're looking about half the country.
One thing I want to throw in, and I want to just give a kudos before we go down the deep, dark path that this is. I did feel good, and hopefully there's follow through with some of these companies saying
that
they'll cover travel expenses for employees to get to a place that these laws are not in effect. And I just thought that was a dope, just a dope thing to put out.
Big agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that you don't expect a corporation in any way to do, right? And you certainly don't expect like them to get involved in a political situation.
Yeah.
In that way. And but knowing how bad this is gonna get, knowing how what this leads to, because I want to make sure that everybody understands this isn't just about, you know, forcing someone not only to go through pregnancy, but to have a birth of some, you know, This is also about, like, how did you find out I was pregnant? Why do you know that I'm pregnant? Why, how would you know that I'm even contemplating something, right? And like, the privacy of women or people that can have babies, it is just gone. Like, it's up for grabs. So when you're talking about, like, I have used period trackers for years to figure out not just, you know, what's going to happen with my body when it happens, but also I'm a person who gets intense, debilitating migraines, and they are the worst at that time. So I need to know a rough time frame of when that's going to happen, because it's not something I can not have, you know. I can't do anything preemptively to not have it. It's a hormonal situation. So, like, we you know, use those apps for many different reasons. You can use it to do your best to not get pregnant. You can do it to just make sure you know what's happening in your body and your life and all of those things. Those are they're going to sell that data, is my whole point. What? Cry for no reason. Yes. Yes. Why I'm so sensitive all of a sudden, why I'm running into a wall. Yes, that's exactly why. Like, I want to know.
That's a symptom, is running into walls?
I'm super clumsy. Yeah, I'm super clumsy. Like, so much so, if I do something stupid, like run into something that's always there.
Okay.
One of my kids will be like, oh, looks like you're about to start your period. Oh,
God. I did not. That is tight.
Yo, I'm it's just like all of a sudden, I don't know what it is. I don't know. But like,
can I use that and it'd be like, yeah, my girl's probably about to start her period if I got run into something?
I don't know if it transfers.
I don't know. Do you know how girls sync up? They're not like.
Yeah, I don't think you have the equipment. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Oh. I think maybe. Okay. I think maybe try it though. See what happens.
So maybe when the tide is pulling, it's pulling.
Okay. Anyway, goodbye. So at my old office, I used to legit. I would just walk into the corner of my desk. The desk doesn't move. You know what I mean? It's always the same distance. It's always where it is. I will walk in the door and just like, just miss it. Just walk right into it. And so I had like this perpetual bruise on my thigh because I was just running right into it. Awareness is out the window. It's just gone. It's gone. So yeah, I mean, those period trackers, though, those apps, delete it yesterday because they're going to sell that data. That's one of the ways that the people that care are going to know that you have missed a period, that you are possibly pregnant, that you have missed multiple periods and now you're back on your, you know, like there's so many different ways for them to use that data against you. And also, like, those apps are the kind of things where you put in stuff that you're not telling anybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is how this particular period went this month, or this is what, like, so I don't normally talk about how clumsy I get, but I definitely, like, oh, I ran into a wall. Like, I would put that in there. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm going to forget about it, you know, 2 weeks later. And now I have somewhere that is all succinct. I can just put those things in there. This was one of the worst migraines I ever had. This was this. This was that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, because that's supposed to be mine, I'm supposed to be able to put that in there and no one else is going to see it. That's out the window.
Yeah.
Because this is bounty hunting season. That's what this is. This is, they have not just like criminalized the act, they have also given people incentive, a monetary incentive to out you and to out anybody who helped you. So this is such a scary, I'm doing my best to not like just be back in, you know, hiding right now. But I woke up this morning, I saw that news, and I got back in bed and I went back to sleep for 2 hours because I was like, I'm not ready to deal with this right now. The implications of this are so huge because abortion doesn't go away, friends. It just becomes unsafe. And so when it's unsafe, that means that women die. And the fact that we're okay with that, the fact that we're okay with you know, somebody having something so traumatic like a miscarriage and then being charged with murder? A miscarriage in the name. It is.
Wait, that's
it's a, an accident. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean, some states are literally like, if you miscarry, there's a woman who's already been charged for having a miscarriage. She's charged with like involuntary manslaughter or something like that. Yeah.
That is a talking point I have not seen. And
it's terrifying. And what happens if you have a stillborn? You know, like, what happens if you go to term with your pregnancy, you have a baby, and that baby's dead? What happens? Do me and the doctor go to jail? Like, what happens? These are the kind of things that are incredibly traumatic. If you have a stillborn baby, that's not something you just get up and go about your business the next day. That's something that sits with you forever. You know what I mean? Like, it's the, what did I do wrong? It's all of the things that happened, like, this was my fault. Somehow I did something to kill this baby, you know? And now I could go to jail for that? And I guess my point of all of the things that you think about, it's not your fault. It's not something, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not something that you could have necessarily changed. There are a lot of people that can get pregnant that can't have babies. There's a, you know, there is a difference. Yeah. It's not the same. And it's not forever and always a joyous occasion. It is right. Not always something that people want or are ready for. And in a time like this, where there's literally like a formula shortage, it is harder to feed babies today. Yes.
The point of the way in which this works, of course, we know there's no logic in this. Like, trying to make logic of it is dumb.
No, it's just a power grab. That's it.
And understanding how, in the space we are at right now, there's the lack of care and concern for actual living, breathing children.
Life.
Life. Like, come on, let's be realistic. Let's think about schools. Let's think about school funding. Let's think about food and these assistance programs for people that make a decision that I can't sustain, like, outside of the medical, like, issues, but people that are making a decision like this, me bringing this into the world, this is not going to be a good situation for this child.
Right.
There's not things set up to make sure all these people that are pro-life, for as many children that are in the adoption system, like, if this was about that, they would be taken care of a certain type of way, because we care so much.
And we know, right? How much we are invested into an adoption system, right? And how much we give money to foster children or foster mm-hmm. parents. It is mm-hmm. not funded. It is not set up for the success of those children. It is not set up for the success of their well-being, their life, all of those things. They don't care. Anybody that tells you they're pro-life, that is absolutely, that's, I don't know how they got away with that particular term. You know what I mean? Because that's not it. That it's simply not it. You don't care about that life once it's born. So you are not pro-life. The people that want this are the same people that refuse to fund, who say right. things like, you know, I don't want my tax dollars going to things that I don't want them to, right. or, you know, like, I'm going to do the white flight and I'm going to get into the suburbs and I'm going to get away from everything so that my property taxes go specifically to where I want my children to be. And to be able to even do that is an advantage that other people don't have. Right. And so for me, I have always. Go ahead.
I was just it's just in the space of, and this is where my personal frustration with this gets of. Not even my person. This is a thing from everybody general. That stands on this side of the line. it actually doesn't affect you at all. So like, I wanna be able to have a conversation with the people who have this staunch stance on this to help me to understand where this is hurting or harming you or anything that you have going on. Even your collective, our collective, help me to understand. And that's where I've yet to hear something that made me say, okay,
I understand why you feel this way.
Lot of stuff that I listen to that people are anti that I'm like, I mean, I can see how that makes. I can see that. There's nothing I've been able to capture that says that to me. Especially when you go down to getting into religion and trying to throw your religious beliefs and how you're following these words to not a T, to the T that benefits you.
Hello.
That's where it throws me just in a crazy loop of how concerned people are about the things that don't affect them, nor does it actually affect anything that you have going on or any of the people that are not that person or that person.
All of that, every single piece of that, and then on top of it, many, and this is not just like, you know, me using a word, many of the men that feel this way have forced an abortion.
And that
many of the men that were senator
talking about how their stance and they can't wait for the stuff to go in, and then a chick popping on like, yeah, well, your son had me hit a plan B after our hookup immediately. So all after that was like, oop, boop,
boop, hello. I mean, the thing is, it is what we all have to understand. So there's, like you said, there isn't logic to it because it isn't something that does affect other people. This is legit just about control. And for all of the people that don't really care or, you know, are just like apathetic to this issue, mm-hmm. what you have to really, you got to pull back, zoom out, whatever it is, and really pay attention to what's happening in that. This is power. This is control over a group of people, which means they will try to control other groups of people. And if at some point, if you are not a wealthy white man, you will fall into the group of people that they will try to control. So if you're not in that group, again, always and forever, remember the phrase, no one is free until we're all free. And that is absolutely true. If they will try to subjugate groups of people, you at some point will fit that group. If you don't fit the one specific group, you know what I'm saying? And so that goes for every single white woman, wealthy or not. Understand? Nope. Understand that you are something that they can absolutely use and move forward without. Like, they can leave you in the dust, boo. And they're going to, because when they don't need you anymore, when you can't make babies, when you can't help procreate, they don't have nothing for, there's no rap for you. No time. And when your granddaughter gets raped and the blah, 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 and you're like, oh my God, you can't get pregnant, or you can't have this baby or whatever it is. Yeah. You were a part of that.
You made a point earlier offline about F word, the extremes.
Like, yes.
F word, the extreme, because that's where people jump to. And yep. That's their why this is. It's like, no, that's yes. The extreme example, but this is just in a general way. Why
do you want the control over somebody else's body? Exactly. Why do you want that control over somebody else's life? It doesn't have
to be validated through what makes this like, oh, this is egregious. I understand that. Like, no, this is,
yeah.
They said what they said. That's what this should boil down to.
This is really where one of my biggest issues is with the debate went immediately to, well, what about what are the exceptions to this? Right. Yeah. Like, well, what about people that get raped? What about incest? What about this? What about that? So all of those things are fine. And you're going to force a woman to have that baby. Listen, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. if I do not want to have a baby, I should not be forced to have a baby. Period. Point blank. End of discussion. It does not affect you. What happens over here does not affect you. And the forced pregnancies and forced births that are going to happen absolutely does affect everybody else, because we are going to have to pick up the slack. So the women that are like, I don't care, you shouldn't be able to have an abortion, don't use that as birth control, I've been raped and I had babies and I gave them up for adoption. Cool. Super cool story. And then where are those babies today? How are they doing? Entire system of adopting babies, which is absolutely human trafficking, if you ask me. Ooh. That entire situation, we already know, and we have known for before you and I were born, that people that go into that system often come out of it so damaged that they are people that now hurt people, right? Violently, sexually, they hurt people because they have spent their entire life being beaten, being talked to crazy, being sexually abused, because all of a sudden that life got born and you didn't want to have anything to do with it. So you threw it at somebody else, and that somebody else is only doing that for a check, or that somebody else is only doing that to be able to beat children. That whatever the situation is that makes them the abusive people that they are, they continue to perpetuate that on other children. So I don't, like, it is our issue now. It's not your business if I do or don't have a child, mm-hmm. in a way that I take care of that child, right? But in this instance, when it's just like, have the baby, give it up, you think that doesn't have any implications? You think that doesn't change the trajectory of that baby's life? You think that they're not going to have questions about what, how come I'm, there are too many people that were adopted today that will tell you right now, I searched forever for my birth parents. I was always so confused on why I was with this family and not the one that I came from. Like, that's the alternative that we're looking for. But we will also not put any more money into that system. We will also not give training to any of those people that are going to be taking children into their homes. We are not going to do anything to make sure that these lives are actual, healthy, you know, emotionally stable lives. We are going to just force people into poverty, force them into situations that are they can become criminals. What happens if you have to steal a bunch of stuff to feed your children? You go to jail, and then those children go to foster care. Like, it is absolutely insane that we're even dealing with this. And the fact that this is a precedented case, right? Like, this has been around for 50 years. And when I think about, like, my mom is 75, that means she has seen a world. She has in her lifetime lived with abortion being illegal, abortion being legal, and abortion being illegal again.
Which is wild.
Just in a lifetime, right? And when you think about what 50 years means for the law or on the books or whatever, and you think that this is supposed to mean something, it's supposed to be. So I'm a person that I want to know, I absolutely blame, you know, conservatives and the evangelicals that have used this as a wedge issue for years and decades and decades, right? Mm-hmm. But I also blame the people that tell you that they're on your side and that they support a woman's choice and that all of these things, and then they get in positions of power and do absolutely nothing about it. So I blame Obama. I do. I blame Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So all you people that are so excited that that woman was on the court, nope, because she needed to retire a long time ago. So we're not in this situation that we're in right now, where a Donald Trump gets to appoint anybody to the Supreme Court for a lifetime position. Mm. Obama absolutely ran on codifying this law and did absolutely nothing to do that once he had the power to do that. Nancy Pelosi is out here fundraising on this right this second. Fundraising on the fact that women are not gonna be able to choose things for their own body and their own life. And she supported multiple anti-choice Democrats. So I need y'all to know that all these people that continuously in positions of power that are actually just beholden to, you know, a corporation or whoever is buying their fourth summer house, they don't care about you. And when a 78-year-old woman, 82-year-old woman who ain't been able to have a baby in 28 years, 30, 40 years, is going to support someone who doesn't want you to have the choice, and then they get to fundraise on that and tell you how terrible it is that this happened. You got Susan Collins, who is a Republican senator right now, who voted to confirm Kavanaugh, to confirm the other dude, I don't remember his name in the moment.
Okay.
And was like, they both told me in my interview that they would, they, this is precedent and they don't mess with that. LOL. In what way did you think that those people would not do this? Like, if we can, if any of us who don't even have a shot at voting in these moments, right?
Okay.
If any of us understand who these people are, you as a representative who has met with them, who has a whole entire staff that can give you the full rundown on this person and other, you know, rulings that they've made, other statements they've made. Like, Brett Kavanaugh has been a part of politics since he was in college. He got there. There's too many things for us to know about that man for you to even pretend like I'm gonna take this dude at his word. And you could just take all of the sexual assault allegations out of it. The rest of it, what he's been a part of, what he is focused on in his career, has literally been turning everything back to, we got to make sure the old white wealthy men have the power, because nobody else would be able to do this. It's just us. That's not the person that you can then decide for so many people. Because you don't understand what it means to live the life of a non-white wealthy man. And if you can't understand or get out of your bubble or move, you know what I mean? Like, pop out of that and see what it means to live as a black woman, an indigenous woman, a Latina woman. Like, if you can't figure out what that means once you now have children in tow, if you can't understand that all of those women that I just listed are making less money for doing a better job than the your nephew. And your nephew gets to get women flown to wherever he wants to make them have abortions. Like, bruh. And then the talking point at this moment, I'm sorry, I'm gonna reel myself back in. But the talking point at this moment is like, this doesn't mean that it's illegal. This doesn't mean that there's no access to abortion. Tell that to those 13 states that've been waiting in the wings. This whole, like, you could just go to another state. Cool. Cause I got all the access to that money to travel. I got all the access to the money to then pay out of pocket for this procedure, have somewhere to stay, have somewhere to be, to recuperate, and then get back to work once I get back to my state. That's a thing. It's outlandish.
Again, it's frustrating, even as, you know, and I know my frustration doesn't matter in this, but
I don't agree with that. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, but every single person that is frustrated by this, it is a part of a cause and can be a part of a cause.
Okay. Okay. And that's it, just where this conversation, you know, leads. I don't know necessarily what the next step of, like, what action, you know, can come outside of just the initial, like, the frustration is like what the actions to counter this are, but it's definitely something I feel like, you know, we need to revisit on a future episode, where the things that are locally, nationally, that we can get people, including ourselves, involved with, to attempt a counter. I mean, I don't know if that's a...
I'll just say this. What one of the best headlines that I saw today was Oregon, Washington, and California are our governors are working together to ensure that abortion is safe and legal in these states. So to know that that is the stance of the left coast, you know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to us, because that means we voted the right people in at the right time. That are going to try and do what they can. The problem is, if this is, becomes a federal situation, then it doesn't matter what states decide to do. there's a lot to be done. They're going to protest this until the wheels fall off. But it is when we get in a position where there is a 6-3 conservative, you know, Supreme Court, they can roll anything back. And understand that if they rolled this back, which absolutely certainly affects white wealthy people too, don't let them just say that it doesn't, you know, just because they have money and access. It does affect you though. And so if this affects them in a, or could impact them in a negative way, think about all the other things that would impact them in a positive way that we no longer have to deal with, but we could.
Well, in the meantime, if y'all happen to come across Amber Rose's Get Your Hoe On, just be careful in the moment. With that said, Amber, we are the Unrefined Sophisticates Podcast. Thank y'all for spending some time with us. We will be back as what was his name? Arnold Schwarzenegger said.
Goodbye.
Follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. You can follow me, Canada. I technically can, and follow Morgan at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen, and tell a friend to tell a friend about us. And now that I've said that, it's check out time. Y'all know what time it is. Come on, man, get your bags, man. Call that bell, motherfucker. On the cock.